fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. So we have in Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is
love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So hey, do them. Okay, today is faithfulness. Now, I thought about being the big day to do something separate, you know, but I was looking at faithfulness, and man, Easter is all about the faithfulness. It really is, all right? But let's think about what faithfulness is and what it means, right? Now, you know, I was talking to Sherry even this morning again. So when we were young ones, almost 22 years ago, and we were considering the marriage and the vows, we're going to pick out our vows, you know, and we didn't feel like doing the whole make up your vows thing. You know, we'll just find something in one of these nice books. People know what they're doing, right? And so we're reading this one, and in it, you know, I will honor, love. We kind of, the obey thing. Okay, we'll talk about that, right? All right. But then we came to this part and it says, and I will give you my faith. You pledge to that other person your faith. I will give you my faith. Now, again, I'm just thinking about getting married. Okay, like, whatever. I'll say whatever you want me to say. Let's get married, right? But Sherry said, wait a minute. Let me give you my faith. My faith? That's, again, thinking, hey, that's what I believe in Jesus, you know? And you think you're the man now that you could be my faith or whatever? No. It's all about faithfulness. I'm going to give you my pledge to be faithful, all right? Now, I think as we look at faithfulness, as again, as a fruit, which in turn is a characteristic of God, I think there's really two aspects to faithfulness we want to make sure we're considering, okay? One is that to be faithful is to really be trustworthy and dependable. Trustworthy and dependable. It's a quality of being honest, of integrity. You're reliable. You keep your word. You are trustworthy. You know, an employer loves faithful employees. So they can count on them. They're going to come to work. They're going to do what they're supposed to do, and it's a wonderful thing. So that's the first aspect, okay? Trustworthy and dependable. Okay, very important. A second aspect of faithfulness that we want to make sure we are understanding here is the idea of being faithful over a long period of time. Okay? To be faithful is to be all these things of trustworthy and reliable and honest and keeping your word over the long haul. That is what it is to be faithful. All right? It's you don't want, you know, faithfulness doesn't go, I'll be faithful this amount of time and then after that I don't have to worry about it. Okay? It's through the whole long-term deal. All right? So it's a character of somebody you know you can simply rely on all of the time. That is faithfulness. And I think as we consider that definition, as we think about those things, that does describe God to us, does not? Does it not tell us really the character of God? It's amazing. Every one of these fruit of the Spirit, and we get to it and we go, oh yeah, that's God. You know, that really sums it all up. And then the other one, oh yeah, that sums it all up. Oh yeah, joy, that sums it all up. That each one does all part of it. And faithfulness is the character of God himself. Now, I want to do as we've similarly done. Wow, say that one a few times. Similarly. You know what I'm talking about. In the same way. In the same way, we will think about the faithfulness of God in the Bible. We'll see some examples of that faithfulness. We will consider then the faithfulness in the teachings and life of Jesus, and then consider it again as fruit of the Spirit for us. And what does that look like to be faithful people, to have this aspect of fruit blooming in us, okay? So here's where we go. First off, just quickly, look at a few scriptures here considering the faithfulness of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. Some of these things are going to be very familiar to some of you. So, in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, starting at verse 3, This is under the Song of Moses. And in verse 3, Moses says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So there we see early on Moses describing God as the faithful one. Now, of course, if you go to the Psalms, it's faithfulness is just everywhere in there. I'll mention a few here. Psalm 25. And verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. And then turn up just a few pages probably to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. Oh, my father had that thought. Four and five. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. And then one more. Here's Psalm 36, verse 5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. And we could spend the rest of our time here just going over and over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it of people describing God in terms of faithfulness. So the question is this. Well, if you could go back, way back, to some of the writers of these things, to Moses, the Israelites, who say that God is faithful. And the question is, how do you know that God is faithful? Right? If you could go back to those Israelites and say, okay, you're saying these great things. What do you mean? Why is he faithful? How do you know that God is faithful? Well, I think most Israelites will then tell you their story. That's their story is the story of God's faithfulness. And I'm sure many, many, if not most, would probably look at the story of the Exodus as just the pinnacle of God being faithful to them. Even in the midst of bad things. Now, if you remember back in, we just read in Psalm 33, and I'll read it again. But in Psalm 33, 5, you remember that the psalmist described God in this way. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Righteousness, justice, unfailing love. And that's all part of God's faithfulness. So if you were asked that Israelite, he may say, God, we see God's faithfulness in that he kept the promises he made to Abraham. When they were brought out of Egypt, in that cataclysmic way. That was a fulfillment God promised. God promised Abraham that this people is going to be the one that carries out and fulfills my kingdom in the earth. So he kept his promise there. He kept his promise of justice, the judgment that went upon the Egyptians who had shackled them, enslaved them for 400 years. They were able to look back and say, yes, God is just. And he shows his justice. And he showed his love. He provided for them food, water, safety, shelter as they wandered in the wilderness. Even in the midst of their unfaithfulness, God showed his faithfulness in providing and loving them through all those things. God kept all of his promises. He was faithful. He was faithful. You know, we see in that idea of faithfulness, you know, that God is faithful even in suffering. You know, the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? That phrase comes, in fact, we want to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. So that line, Great is Thy Faithfulness, if you look now, Lamentations chapter 3, of course, it's a lament. This is not a happy book. If you want to be bummed out this afternoon, go home, read Lamentations. It'll just like, oh, my goodness. But in Lamentations chapter 3, and I will read verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion does not fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, that line, great is your faithfulness, that comes in the midst of Israel's darkest hour. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been burned. The people were forced out into exile and scattered. And in the midst of that, when the Israelites may have said, okay, where's the faithfulness of God now? Who is this God who says he's faithful? No, in the midst of that, the prophet Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. And that's why I want us to try to get a hold of this on this Resurrection Sunday. As we celebrate and remember the greatness of God in raising Jesus from the dead, we also know that we're in the midst of Romans 8 and the groaning of creation still. And even then, God is faithful. And as the Israelites could look back at how God had worked even in the midst of their unfaithfulness and how he proved it over and over again he's faithful, we too have stories amongst ourselves to proclaim God's faithfulness, and especially in those low times. We need each other to remind us each and all of God's faithfulness. Even in the laments of life, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, we can affirm with total confidence that God is faithful. That faithfulness is seen in Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in fact, links faithfulness to Jesus. Just a couple of quick things to peek at. 1 Corinthians. And I'll come back to Paul a little later here, but just... there we go. Corinthians, there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 9. Okay, there it is. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Paul says this. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. So he links this idea of the faithful God to his Son, Jesus. This God who is faithful gave you fellowship with Jesus. Turn a couple chapters forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And again, that's in the context of, you know, coming up, he's going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. And he's linking this idea of faithfulness of God then with Jesus. And just real quick again, 1 Thessalonians. Yes, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Paul says this, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. These are things we can hang on to as we consider today in the resurrection of Jesus and the faithfulness of God in that. We too hope. Have a hope of a future resurrection of ourselves and our bodies and in the coming of Jesus again. And Paul makes that connection of Jesus and God's faithfulness. And so we see that. Now, we understand, I think, hopefully, that God is faithful, that we can count on him. He's God. He will not change. He will always be faithful. Always, 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 all right? But what about people, right? What about people? In the Bible, Old Testament particularly, well, in the New Testament too, we see examples, bad examples all the time, right? It seems like Israel was in a almost constant state of, you know, seeing the faithfulness of God and then just turning around and rebelling over and over and over again. And just in case we ever read the Old Testament and consider ourselves maybe being a little arrogant or looking down our noses at Israel, thinking, surely, you know, on the other side of Jesus now, we would not do these sorts of things. We have a plethora of examples of bad examples in the church itself, right? Over and over, leaders falling, you know, individual Christians, relationships. We see the ugliness all the time, the unfaithfulness of God's people over and over again. All right, but we do see some great examples, right, of people who remained faithful to God, individuals who shine that fruit of God's Spirit in their lives. I think one of the biggest ones that we could probably look at, I know the Bible does often, is Moses. Moses is often held up as an example of faithfulness. In fact, the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3, puts it this way. There you go. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who had appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Moses is often lifted up as a picture of faithfulness. All right? Picture of faithfulness. Now, in the great places, we want to look at Moses' faithfulness is in the book of Numbers. We'll spend a little bit of time there. So, in Numbers chapter 12, the writer says this. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Where, yeah, there it is. The writer says this. Moses said, this is Moses speaking, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true to my servant Moses. Okay, this is God talking. He is faithful in all my house. When I speak with him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? It's amazing that, you know, we could call God Moses faithful in things we see him, but God himself describes Moses. He is faithful in all my house. You know, and that is the language that the author of Hebrews used when describing Moses. All right. So what is it that makes Moses faithful? What is shown in Moses' life that describes the faithfulness of God? Well, first, just consider Moses as a leader and everything that he had to face, the problems that he had to face all the time. I mean, just feeding this nation. As they're traveling around, there was confusion amongst the Israelites. There was one time, and we're going to talk about it a little bit here, about a confusion over gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit was giving gifts, and there was confusion, and Moses had to deal with that. Funny how things come back around sometimes, right? There was criticism from his own family over his wife. There was discouragement that from the spies that Moses sent into the promised land. A couple of them came back with good. Most of them did not. There was grumbling and rebellion from the people all the time. Moses faced death threats in chapter 14 of Numbers. And he faced a mutiny among his own leaders. So over and over again, Moses had to face these pressures of leadership, and yet God describes him as my faithful servant. Yet he remained faithful. Now I think, and there's many, many things that you can think about with Moses' faithfulness. Two that I want to consider today is two areas of faithfulness with Moses. One, Moses in his faithfulness showed a lack of selfish jealousy. Okay, as an aspect of faithfulness. And we, again, imagine we're putting together a puzzle, pieces of parts of faithfulness for us is through the Spirit. Lack of selfish jealousy. Look at Numbers chapter 11. And starting at verse 26. And this is this squabble over gifts of the Spirit. It's an interesting story. So 11:26. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders but did not go into the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. Okay, so you can imagine they're camped, and Moses usually does all the prophesying sort of work, but these two guys, the Spirit came on them too. Okay? A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. He's probably thinking, then I wouldn't have to work so hard. But, all right? But still, Moses had no jealousy or compulsion to keep power or keep the Lord himself. And I mean, this is the guy who for a while had to wear a veil because his face shone because he was so close to God. All right? This is the guy that when Moses asked, God showed him his glory in the cleft of the rock. This is the guy that God spoke to in a burning bush. All right? But Moses did not feel any selfishness or jealousy, and he had to be the guy. Oh, Lord, you're talking to them now, huh? No. And what a great character. A characteristic of his character. To not, again, he said, oh, I wish everybody could experience that experience. That'd be great. He did not have any selfish jealousy. Another thing that Moses showed, and you turn it to chapter 14 of Numbers, in his character of faithfulness, he showed a lack of selfish ambition. Okay, and look at chapter 14, starting in verse 10. Where am I here? Now the whole assembly talked about stoning them. So that's a good start. They're talking about Moses and Aaron. Okay, the people are getting rebellious here. They're feeling kind of peckish. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs that I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they are. So God's saying, you know what? Fine. Let's just wipe these guys out, and Moses, we'll start over with you. Kind of like with Noah. Or with Abraham, right? Okay, but what is Moses' response here? This is amazing. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They will have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people. And that you, O Lord, have been face to face. That your cloud stays over them. And that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard the report about you will say the Lord is not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath. So he slaughtered them in the desert. So what's amazing about this is, one, Moses did not succumb to that temptation. And I got to think it had to be a little bit of a pull there. You know, say, oh, you know, maybe then in the future when they're writing their Bibles and stuff, they'll talk about, you know, the people of Moses, you know, instead of the song Father Abraham. We'll say Father Moses. It doesn't work this well, maybe. But, okay, you see, I'm saying that there's that idea that I could be the guy. But what's saying the amazing is, why? What was Moses' concern in this situation? It was God. He was so concerned about the glory of God, about the reputation of God himself. He loved God. He respected him, and his heart was so turned toward God. Moses was so faithful to God. He said, no, Lord, please don't do this. For your name's sake, for your name among the nations, let's not do this. I think that's a very, very impressive attitude, and one that I don't know. I hope I never would have to face that temptation. All right, so there's some great pictures of faithfulness now in the Old Testament. We see a lot of faithfulness in Jesus' teaching also. All right, so in fact, turn to John chapter 17. We'll look at a few places here, but consider what Jesus said about faithfulness. And John 17, here we go. In John 17 and verse 4, Jesus says this. Jesus is praying. And this is prayer. He says this. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I bring that up just to point to the fact that Jesus faithfully did what God had for him to do. That's what this verse is saying. Jesus said, I did what you sent me to do. Oh, Father, I was faithful to you in these things. Jesus was faithful. And in that example of Jesus to his Father in faithfulness, Jesus calls his followers then to be faithful people. Okay, this fruit of the Spirit, this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, of faithfulness is one that shows the commitment to Jesus. Jesus in disciples calls for faithful disciples. These are people who are committed to him. These are people who are in it for the long haul, who will persevere in following Jesus. Jesus' teaching tells the disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. That is faithfulness to Jesus. Jesus says to not take the easy road, but in fact to choose the hard road, because the one that to follow him in faithfulness is that. You know, and now when, if I was to have a little Bible quiz here and I said, okay, Jesus said this, well done, good and faithful servant. You know what the context of that quote is from Jesus? Well done, good and faithful servant. He's telling a parable, right? He's telling a parable of the talents. All right, so God, you know, the story was he gave one guy a bunch of talents, another guy some, another guy some, and they do something with it. Master comes back, says, oh, and to the ones who did good with the talents he gave, Jesus, they said, the master says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? There's an aspect of faithfulness to what God has given you. And so we see this, again, another piece in the puzzle of faithfulness is, and this is out of Matthew 25, that parable of the talents, the idea of faithfulness and, what do you say, accountability, right? As part of faithfulness is perseverance and loyalty and all these things. Part of it, too, is in God's kingdom, the idea of being accountable for what God has given, being faithful for what God has given. And as we see, look for faithfulness in as a fruit of the Spirit, we see that Jesus calls us then as his disciples to long-term, steady, dependable, lifelong commitment. The author Eugene Peterson says, puts it away, he says, it's a long obedience in the same direction. All right? You're in it for the long haul. Now look at Luke chapter 16. So we consider what Jesus is saying here. Chapter 16, and just verses 10 through 13. All right, so this is coming off of another parable. And he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus talks a lot about money, and in this context here, it's money, but it's more than just money. It's this whole idea of money and power, of influence, that temptation to do to grab and hold on to those sorts of things for out of fear or out of control kind of stuff. Okay? But a faithful person is not concerned about these things. And so when God, in this parable of a shrewd manager, he's saying, hey, I'm giving you things on this earth, entrusting them to you in your lives as a disciple. And as Eugene Peterson said, a long obedience in the same direction is, will you stay that course of faithfulness? Is that fruit evident in your life? Because in this life, we see in the problems, the frustrations, the trials, persecutions, whatever it may be, we see who you really believe, what you really believe in, who you really love, and ultimately who you are really ultimately committed to. And that is a picture of faithfulness. This is why I think the picture of marriage is such an important one. And important for single people too. All right, don't think that, you know, if you're single, you are less in any way in God's kingdom. You're not, but this, the image of marriage, Christian marriage. Now, people call all sorts of things marriage, okay? And whatever, all right? But Christian marriage means something very, very important. That is why the scripture shows, the disdain for the splitting up of a marriage. Yes, we know what happens. And it's painful. It hurts. It's awful. Okay, we understand that. And we're here for that. Okay, but even in that, we see how important the picture of faithfulness is. Because we know, anybody here is married, you understood probably 3 days into it, whew, this could be a long haul. Right? I mean, it doesn't take long, folks, to understand what God, then I tell you, you're married, and then you read some of this stuff, you're going, oh, yeah, now I get it. Right? That image of God's faithfulness to his bride, which is us, is powerful. And it's a powerful image that we can give to the world. Our marriages are gifts to the world. What we show in our marriages is a powerful apologetic to the faithfulness of God. If we can show the faithfulness of God between two people that God puts together that are just so different. I was chatting with Sherry just a little bit this morning, mostly to make sure that, you know, if I talk about our marriage and she's up for it, right? You don't want to get in trouble that way, all right? But our marriage, like many marriages, have gone some up and downs. There have been struggles. 22 years, there's been some struggles. I mean, real struggles, serious struggles. 7 years in our marriage, Sherry and I were at a near breaking point. It was close, folks. Close. Very close. But here we are, coming up in year 22. And I can testify to the faithfulness of God. Because see, remember we've been talking all along, this is fruit of the Spirit. Because I can tell you now, outside of God and his Spirit working, this marriage thing probably would not have worked. All right? And we see over and over again that the necessity of this fruit of faithfulness has to be a supernatural fruit of God. And it's a beautiful thing to see that lived out. I mean, I'm looking out now and I'm just overwhelmed as I see the faithfulness of God in marriages. You are faithfulness of God and showing that fruit, and I love it. It was Jesus' example in his resurrection. God showed his faithfulness. In the midst of darkness of Good Friday, that he will keep his promises on Easter Sunday. God is faithful. And then so God's invitation then to us today is, come to me, I will be faithful to you. Come to me, my faithful bride. Come to me, and I will be with you, take care of you, and love you, even in the hard times. And I love what Paul tells us in 2 Timothy. I'll end with this. 2 Timothy, there it is, chapter 4. Starting verse 7, Paul says this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The prize of faithfulness his life with Jesus. And Paul understood that. He said, I've fought the fight. I've done the long obedience, the same direction. I've stood by faithfully to God, and I look forward to that day when he takes me home. And that is our hope too. The hope of resurrection, the hope of Easter, and that Jesus raised from the dead is our hope also of the faithful walk the road that we have together. But it is, and here is that tension, the already not yet that we have to experience. We are saved. Jesus on the cross shed his blood, died for you and for me. And in that sacrifice, our great high priest saved us. As we believe in that, we are saved. Done. And we are being saved. We are in the process of salvation. We are step by step persevering in faithfulness. And those who persevere to the end will be saved. Right? We have to keep that in mind. It is God's Spirit working in us. And in the end, then we too. Someday stand before God and have him look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant.